I think I have something for you tonight that you can take home and as we celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow. So Lamentations, if you can't find that, if that's not a book you've been in lately, go to the book of Psalms, go to the right about six books, just go find Jeremiah, and it's one more book after Jeremiah, the book of Lamentations. We're going to be in chapter number 3, starting in verse number 21. Several verses there. So if you have Lamentations 3:21, if you follow along as I read tonight. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait in him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should have hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I've titled tonight's teaching, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, the book of Lamentations, it's a book of a series of sadness, a book of mourning. It was written against the backdrop during the Babylonian invasion and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. In the verses of these books, we can see the sufferings of the people that were there at the city at the hand of their enemies. But even in the midst of pain that we see during this time, God had his man in Jerusalem to record the events to bring honor to his name. The prophet Jeremiah. You see, the writer of the book of Lamentations is believed to be the prophet Jeremiah. He was known as the weeping prophet, the weeping prophet. And we're going to look at Jeremiah's life just real briefly before we get into Lamentations tonight, because it's important that we see the background of the book of Lamentations and what it was, why it was written, and the time that it was written in. A study of Jeremiah's life reveals an unending sadness. It reveals a deep depression that Jeremiah went through. We're going to see that tonight. So let's look at his life real quick. Jeremiah received an unwanted call to minister. That was the call that Jeremiah got. It was an unwanted call. If we look at Jeremiah, and I'm going to go through some verses in Jeremiah. You can jot them down and look at them later on. I'm going to go through them very quickly. Jeremiah 1, 5, and 6. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you were born. I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. Jeremiah had this unwanted call to minister. We also see that Jeremiah was called to a ministry of preaching of nothing but judgment. Nothing but judgment. We see that in Jeremiah 1, verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant. You see, he was teaching nothing but judgment during this time. Point number 3 for Jeremiah was that he was forbidden to marry, so that he might give himself fully to the ministry, proclaiming the coming judgment of God. And we see that in Jeremiah 16. It says, the Lord gave me another message. He said, do not get married or have children in this place, for this is what the Lord says about the children born here in this city and about their mothers and fathers. They will die from terrible diseases. No one will mourn for them or bury them, and they will lie scattered on the ground like manure. They will die from war and famine, and their bodies will be food for vultures and wild animals. This is what the Lord says, do not go to funerals or mourn and show sympathy for these people, for I have removed my protection and peace from them. I have taken away my unfailing love and my mercy. Both the great and the lowly will die in this land. No one will bury them or mourn for them. Their friends will not cut themselves in sorrow or shave their heads in sadness. No one will offer a meal to comfort those who mourn for the dead. Not even at the death of a mother or a father, no one will send a cup of wine to console them. And do not go to their feasts and parties. Do not eat and drink with them at all. For this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. In your own lifetime, before your very eyes, I will put an end to the happy singing and the laughter in this land. The joyful voices of bridegrooms and brides will no longer be heard. When you tell the people all these things, they will ask, why has the Lord decreed such terrible things against us? What have we done to deserve such treatment? What is our sin against the Lord our God? Then you will give them the Lord's reply. It is because your ancestors were unfaithful to me. They worshipped other gods and served them. They abandoned me and did not obey my word, and you were even worse than your ancestors. You stubbornly follow your own evil desires and refuse to listen to me. So I will throw you out of this land and send you into a foreign land where you and your ancestors have never been. There you can worship idols day and night, and it will grant you no favors. You can see a result of that Jeremiah was a lonely guy. He didn't have a lot of friends. He was a man of deep sadness, and he wept openly about the sins of his people. Jeremiah 9:1, if only my head were a pool of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night for all my people who have been slaughtered. 5, he endured depression as a result of the message going unheeded for so long. He even came to a point where he tried to get out of the ministry. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 says, but if I say that I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm so worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. You see, the pain that Jeremiah is experiencing here is understandable. We see what he's going through. We're seeing what he's being told. He's trying to minister. He doesn't want to minister. He's told that he has to minister nothing but judgment. He spent some 50 years in his ministry. And you know, there isn't one convert recorded during that time. 50 years, and didn't see anything happen. 6, he suffered in prison by King Zedekiah because the king didn't approve of his teaching. And even while the Babylonians were invading the city in fulfillment of everything that the prophet had said, Jeremiah is sitting in prison. Jeremiah 32, verse 2. Jeremiah was then under siege. Jerusalem was then under siege from the Babylonian army, and Jeremiah was imprisoned in the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace. 7, after Jerusalem falls, and so many have been killed and taken captive, the prophet, does he go out and say, I told you so? Doesn't do that. Instead, he becomes broken with the people remaining. And thus we have the background for the Book of Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations. You see, Jeremiah, after enduring a life like this, after being rejected, after being hated, after being mocked, after being imprisoned and ignored, after seeing Jerusalem ransacked and destroyed, and experienced this horror of war that he experienced, the brutality of the enemy that he saw, the hunger, Jeremiah was still able to stand amongst this rubble that was all around him, the rubble of the cities and the body of the dead laying around, and his voice in praise to God was uttered up through unfailing faithfulness to his people. How in the world was that possible? After all that we just read about the life of Jeremiah, here he can stand faithful at this time. Despite his trials, despite his troubles, you see, Jeremiah had a grasp of reality who God was. Jeremiah knew that whether things went well or whether things fell apart, God would still be God. Amen. And that God would be eternally faithful to his people. In Lamentations 3:21, it says, this I recall to my mind, Therefore, I have hope. You see, Jeremiah was still able to find hope in this hopeless situation that was all around him because he believed what? In the faithfulness of his God, his great God. And you see, that should give us encouragement tonight on the eve of Thanksgiving that we have such a wonderful Savior, that we can say thank you to him for everything, that he is such an awesome God. See, like Jeremiah, we all go through difficult, tough times. Times when and everything seems to fall apart at the seams. I worked for a company for 18 years right out of college. I needed a job because my father-in-law-to-be said, if you don't have a job, you're not marrying my daughter. I found a job. I stayed there for 18 years. Worked my way up to vice president of one of the divisions. After 18 years, I felt myself burned out. I had to get a change. I wanted to get out of the swimming pool industry. I was done. I was tired. So I went into the vending machine business. You know, they talk about the school of hard knocks. Well, those classes, let me tell you, are very expensive. And we found that out. My family went through some difficult times. I left a job of 18 years. I was making a good salary. I went to this what I thought was going to work out for us, and I was making a very little salary. And times were tough. Times were difficult. But through it all, our family relied upon Jesus. I have to tell you, my wife was solid in her faith. She was solid in her encouragement. Our two kids were solid in their encouragement to their dad. Because I became discouraged. Because it didn't work out like I had planned. But you see, God was faithful. We go through those times, and we have to remember that we have that blessed assurance that God is faithful. I love that old hymn, and we don't sing it, and I thought about singing it tonight, and we didn't do it, but blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You see, that brings me right back into what we're going to celebrate tomorrow, the day of Thanksgiving. Are we going to celebrate? Are we going to be thankful for the blessings that Jesus pours out on us every day? Oh, I hope so. I hope we take that time tomorrow and remember what he does for us. You see, the Bible gives us that overwhelming evidence of that unchanging faithfulness of our great God. And we can hang on to that. Such a beautiful promise. In verse number 23 in Lamentations, it says, they are new every morning. I love this. Great is thy faithfulness. Isn't it wonderful that they're new every morning? We can wake up and his faithfulness is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. If you want to write next to that word faithfulness in your Bible, that word means firmness and fidelity and steadfastness and steadiness. You see, that's what our God is. That word pictures God as one on whom we can depend. Oh, we can depend on him each and every moment of our life. And we can make sure that when we face those storms and those trials in that valley, in the valleys of life, just like my family went through, that was preparing us. You see, if I hadn't have gone through those valleys, then we wouldn't have been where we're at right now with a company that we started, and God has blessed us immensely. We wouldn't have been ready for that. Not at all. But you see, he brought us down and he made us depend on him. He made us believe that the Lord's Prayer, he will provide our daily bread. He will provide our needs. We can be sure that when we face those storms and those trials, that he will be there for us. I use this example so many times that when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and the storm came up, Jesus didn't flee the boat. He didn't get out. He stayed with the disciples. He calmed the storm. He calmed the storm. He was right there with them. I want to talk about three words tonight in this scripture. The first one is in verse number 22. God is faithful in his grace. Grace is the first word. Through the verse number 22, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. You see, that word mercies can be translated into loving kindness. That is over 30 times in the Old Testament. It's a word that conveys the idea of love and grace and mercy and faithfulness and goodness and devotion. The word pictures God as the divine lover of each one of us. You see, Jeremiah seems to be remembering that it was the grace of God that had brought Israel out of the slavery of Egypt. We know about that. He brought the Israelites out, but it was also the grace, you see, that kept them redeemed in spite of their failures, in spite of their wanderings. You see, when we think about grace, grace saves us. Only grace could have reached us in our lost condition. Only grace could do that. You see, Jesus came in the person of Jesus to die for our sins. He came in the person of the Holy Spirit to draw us to God so that we could be saved. Pastor Ken, the last time he spoke, when he was going through the book of Acts in chapter 1, talked about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit comes along the side of the unbeliever, urging them, softening their heart. How many times have we witnessed to somebody and it seems like it just bounces off? It doesn't get in. Maybe their heart is hardened at that time. But you see, that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's coming alongside them and softening them to receive the seeds that are spread. His grace saves us. But you see, also, his grace secures us. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. Grace not only sought us out when we were lost, but it keeps us, and we're all prone to failure. I don't know about you, but I fail all the time, especially when I drive on I-95. And if you don't drive on I-95, I'm glad for you. We're prone to that spiritual wandering. Oh, we can all, when things are going good, how often do we say, hey, God, I've got it right now. I've got it covered. We see we're prone to that spiritual wandering, but we're saved by grace and we're kept by that same grace. I love Psalm 37, 23 and 24. It says, the Lord detects the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Isn't that a beautiful picture? What a beautiful picture and a promise that is, that even if the rocky road or the path is uneven and we start to stumble, we're not going to fall because Jesus is holding our hand. He's holding on to us so that we won't stumble. He detects every detail in our lives. Wow. That's a huge thought if you think about that. We can be so thankful for that tomorrow. As we're sitting around a table looking for something to be thankful for, as we go around and we say, what are we thankful for this year? Oh man, we can thank God for his wonderful grace that keeps us from stumbling and falling. Thank God for his unfailing, unchanging, faithful grace. Thank him every day for that. God is faithful in his grace. Number two, God is faithful in his gifts. God is faithful in his gifts. We see that in verses 22 and 23 in Lamentations 3. Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You see, that word compassion, if you want to circle that, it means to be moved in the heart out of love for another. That's a word, is a picture of the grace actively moving in the life of the believer. And as you see, as we pass through those storms, those valleys, we know that we don't do it alone. God observes our path, and his grace gives us all we need for that journey. Again, Jesus is always in the boat for us. And I love that verse in Psalm 119, His word is a light unto our path. You know, if you think about that, why do we need a light for our path if the path is always straight? If the path was always straight, we would just be walking straight. We don't need a light. But you see, the path that we go through in life can go this way, and it can go this way, and it can go that way. But you see, we need that light of His word to keep us on that path and keep us secure on that path. And that's the compassion that Jesus has for us each and every day. And yes, we can be thankful for that tomorrow, for His compassion that He just pours out on us. What are some of God's gifts? Well, one gift is, in verse number 23, God's gifts are faithful. Oh, you see, God didn't promise an easier road. If you think that He promised us an easier road, He didn't. We're going to go through difficulties each and every day. But His grace would be sufficient for our need. Think about the Apostle Paul and his battle with the thorn in his flesh. Now, we assume that maybe this thorn was that he didn't have good eyesight from some of the scriptures, but we don't know that for sure. But 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. The power of Christ can work through us. You see, grace is defined as that unmerited love and favor of God towards sinners. I love it. I love to say grace is God's redemption at Christ's expense. God's redemption at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. It carries that idea, but that word has come to mean so much more. It means to refer to the strength of God to face battles, as we come under those times of difficulty. Well, we're going to come under those times in difficulty, and with that in mind, we have to remember that regardless of what we go through, we can be confident in the fact that the Lord will give us the necessary strength to face those battles and those trying times in life. We need to remember that we'll never face a situation as a believer that God won't give us the grace to handle it. Now make it through. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now, O Jacob, listen to the words. Listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed your ways. Listen to this wonderful promise. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Wow. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Wonderful promises that we have in the Word that tells us that God's gifts are faithful. But you see, we also have the gift of His presence. Hebrews 13, 5, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. You see, that verse reveals the great truth that God is always with us. Another thing that we can just be thankful for tomorrow, that God is with us. He's always with us. He'll never fail us. He'll never abandon us. The gift of His performance. What do I mean by that? Well, Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God who is able, listen to that word, able, through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. If we think about that word able, doesn't it become plain that the God is greater by far than any problem we have? I think it does. That word able, it just means that God is an awesome God. He's ready there for us, and He will take care of us. He's always there for us. He will take care of us, period. When our family was going through those difficult times, God was able to keep us going. Yes, I had to go back into the pool industry. I left the vending machine business and went back into the pool industry in a couple different jobs before we started our company. But you see, God was able to get me into those positions that he gave me in those jobs to prepare my son and I for the company that he would allow us to start. He was able, and he took care of us. We also have the gift of his provision. Philippians 4:19, this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. You see, that verse tells us that great truth that God will meet our needs. That's a thank you at dinner tomorrow alone, that he will meet our needs as we sit down. He'll meet our needs, he won't meet our greeds. Our needs and not our greeds. God has promised to take care of his children. And his idea of taking care of us may be different than what we think. Maybe different. I know for our family during that time, it was different than what I imagined. But he took care of us. So we have to come to the place where we're willing to trust God as he takes care of us. What about you? What about me? Do I really believe that the Lord is absolutely faithful? Do we always believe that he has our best interests at heart? And are we confident in the fact that God will always provide for our needs? We have the gift of his person. What do I mean by that? Well, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful thank you right there tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus, that you're the same yesterday, the same today, and I know you're going to be the same tomorrow. You're going to take care of us. You see, that verse tells us the truth that God's nature doesn't change. Think about in the beginning, the Bible characters, what they went through, how they were provided for, Joseph and Moses and Noah and David and Paul and Peter and so many more. You see, the same God who took care of them is the same God to take care of us. He's always there for us. You see, those Bible characters placed their faith in him. God is a steadfast and trustworthy God. Verse number 23, God's gifts are fresh. I love this one. They're new every morning. According to this verse, the grace of God is as fresh today as it was yesterday, and it'll be just as fresh tomorrow. We don't have to worry that we're going to run out of it. It's always there for us. It's fresh every morning. Gives us that grace in our lives. It's as fresh as the new day. Matthew 6:34, it says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. God's faithfulness can be seen in the fact that we woke up this morning, that we put our feet on the floor, that we gathered oxygen, that we went through the day, that he took care of us. We woke up with air to breathe, food to eat, people to love around us. So God is a faithful and wonderful God. Those gifts of God are unchanging and unfailing. God is the Father. God is faithful in his grace. God is faithful in his gifts. God is faithful in his goodness. God is faithful in his goodness. Verses 24 through 26. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. If you have your Bible, that word good, if you want to circle and run off to one side, it has the idea of being pleasant or agreeable, excellent. You see, it refers to the character of God. It refers to the character of God. The word reminds us that God is always engaged in what's best for each one of us. Verse number 24 says, He is a satisfier. God is described as the soul's portion. The Lord is my portion. What does that mean? Well, it means share, S-H-A-R-E, share. Jeremiah is in the battle of his life. Remember what we read, what the situation is here, the spoils of war. It's a war-torn area, and Jeremiah is in the battle of life. God is his reward and his share and his portion. And you see, when Jesus is viewed in that light, you know, he'll be the person that will satisfy us 100%. Jesus is the one that will satisfy us 100%. Psalm 103, verse number 5, He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, you know, God may not give us everything that we desire in life, but He'll always give us what's best. He'll give us what will satisfy our soul. He'll give us what's best for us because He knows what's best for us. He's always there. He is a satisfier, but He's also, in verses number 24 and 25, He's a sustainer. God will never fail those who put their trust in Him. Isaiah 49, 23, Kings and queens will serve you and care for all your needs. They will bow to the earth before you and lick the dust from your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who trust in me will never be put to shame. Never be put to shame. Not a single word of any of His precious promises will ever fail to be honored by Him. If you're listening tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can come to Him for salvation tonight. He won't send you away. He would never send you away lost. He wants you to come to Him. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that whosoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you look for Him to fulfill the needs in your life, you'll never be disappointed. He'll sustain you through this life and through eternity. And if we can't be thankful for that tomorrow, then we need to go back and rethink it. Because that's a wonderful promise that we have, that we can be thankful for tomorrow. Finally, verse 26, He's a Savior. He's our Savior. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. You see, Jeremiah is saying here, those who wait upon the Lord will see Him bring them out of their troubles and trials. He will not fail His children, but in His time He will deliver them from all their valleys. You see, God knows where you're at tonight. He knows where I'm at. He knows where all you're at. If you're listening tonight on the internet, He knows where you're at also. He knows what you're going through. If you're a believer in Him, He will not forsake you. He will faithfully keep you and bring you out of the difficulties that you may be going through. I think it's great, the faith that we see in Jeremiah, standing amongst the wreckage of what he saw and declare the praises of God. Do we do that? Do we do that in our lives as we go through those difficult times? Jeremiah was that kind of believer. Are we? Are we? In closing, during the early years of a ministry activity in China, four members of one family accepted Christ as Savior. But the youngest, a little boy, did not. Later he came to his father and he said he wanted to confess publicly that he had received the Savior. The father felt he was not old enough, so he explained to the lad that he might fall back if he made a profession while he was so young. To the well-meaning concerning father, the boy gave this touching reply. Jesus has promised to carry the lambs in his arms. I'm only a little boy. It will be easier for Jesus to carry me. See, when we face the battles and the burdens and the valleys and the storms and the trials of life, we can remember that we are Jesus' little lambs. And he's able to carry us. And he's able to carry us through whatever we're going through. Whatever battle you're fighting today, give them to Jesus and trust in his unchanging, unfailing faithfulness. Maybe you're walking through that hard place in life and need some help. Maybe you're listening tonight and you're just having a difficult time in life and you just don't understand what's going on. And somebody told you to tune into this radio show tonight or this radio program, this video, and you're struggling. But you don't know Jesus in your life. You don't have him as your Savior. You're struggling tonight. Tonight's the night that you can give your life to Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful night it would be, the eve of Thanksgiving, that in the morning when you wake up, you can thank Jesus that he is your Savior. What a wonderful date of remembrance that would be. If you're struggling with some flesh or some sin, there's help for that also. Jesus can help you with that. Jeremiah said, "Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness." That's a great old hymn. It goes, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be." Jesus is there for us tonight. He loves us.